Good morning. We're glad that you've gathered with us for worship here at Greystone Baptist, where all are welcome, and we're doing our best to bring the love of Christ out into the world. If you're a guest for today's online worship service, please feel free to reach out and be in touch. We'd love to know more about you. Even during this season of social distancing, it's easy to connect with our community by visiting us online at greystonechurch.org, and you can find us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. And please always feel free to send us an email or direct message. We look forward to getting to know you better. And now, as we begin worship today, let's pray together. God, we ask that you open our hearts and our minds to the work you are already doing in our individual lives, in our communities, and in our world. As we navigate this time of distance, separation, change, and uncertainty, let us remain ever aware of your steadfast, loving presence that guides us to the river of God. Give us the humility, courage, and perseverance to let ourselves be guided by your river's current, which leads us through every ordeal, cleansing and refreshing us, giving us life, and carrying us to the places where your love is needed most. Let us know and be creators of your justice, joy, compassion, and peace. Amen.
Shall we gather at the river where bright angel feet have trod, where there's crystal tide forever flowing by the throne of God? Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God.
Margin of the river, washing up its silver spray, we will walk and worship ever all the happy golden day. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God.
Ere we reach the shining river, may we every burden down. Grace our spirits will deliver and provide a robe and crown. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. Soon we'll reach the shining river, soon our pilgrimage will cease, soon our happy hearts will quiver with the melody of peace. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God. That flows by the throne of God.
Hi, friends. Good morning. I love the song we just heard in worship this morning. All about going down to the river to pray, studying about the good old ways. I really do love it. This weekend, I'm actually at a river, and I'm so excited that you get to join me here. One of the reasons I love the river so much is because it reminds me of being really peaceful. The water gently moves in this river. Some rivers, the water moves really fast, and I like that too. But one of the reasons I love being at the river is because it reminds me of how creative God is. It reminds me that God is still at work in the world. When I see and hear the water move, whether it's moving slow or fast, or even if it's really still, it reminds me that God is working in our world. This morning, right over there, a big flock of geese came flying out of the sky, and I could hear the really loud flaps of all of their wings. And then I heard a noise I've never paid attention to before. And as those geese hit the water, there were splashes everywhere. That was an amazing sound to hear. And then later this afternoon, over there, in that part of the water, I heard another bird. It had landed a little bit before, but when it took off to fly, it started off really low, and then it got higher and higher and higher. And the way that it was flapping its wings, it made the funniest sound. It sounded like it was clapping for itself, saying, "Good job, I did it!" It reminded me that sometimes we go through really hard stuff. Sometimes our problems are little, and sometimes our problems are really big and gigantic. But no matter how big our problem is, God is always with us. Sometimes when I have big problems in life, this is a place I really like to come. I come here because it reminds me, again, that God is with me. I hope that you have a place like that too. When I'm at home, I like to take walks. I like to sit out on my back porch. I like to go over to some friends' houses and sit by a fire pit. Or sometimes I just like to go camping. And then I can hear the mosquitoes and all of the crickets and the grasshoppers and all of those things. And I like hearing the sounds of nature. And all of those things remind me that if God is going to take care of all those creatures, from the geese over there to the bird over there to the buzzing little insects, even the ones I don't like, then God's going to take care of me too. I hope that you know that God's going to take care of you. And I hope that you have a place that brings you peace like this place brings me peace.
Grayston. In our worship service today, we're exploring the Beatitudes and Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And so as we think of those ancient words, let's offer up our current words, our current thoughts, our current needs, our current hopes and dreams. Let's offer those in prayer together. God of all surprise and wonder, your gospel reminds us this day that your blessings do not necessarily follow the logic of the world. Our culture shouts from every platform that the rich are blessed. But Jesus reminds us, and your gentle spirit whispers even now, that you favor the poor in spirit, those who scrape and scavenge for enough. We pray for the inbreaking of your kingdom and that your will be done so that all have enough and none are left behind. Every day, we are given COVID numbers, statistics that mark illness and death, loss and sorrow. Jesus reminds us from that mountain that you hear the lamentations of those who are bent over in grief. Train our hearts and ears to hear the cries of your people. Fit us to serve, to bring healing and wholeness to those who are sick, comfort to those who have lost much. In times of uncertainty and in times of distress, with a political election swirling around us, we are tempted to grab for power, to create some stability or steadiness on shaky ground. But your dear Son holds out for us the meek as our example. Instruct us, O God, in the ways of humility. Help us to stand in solidarity with the oppressed and marginalized. Show us your presence in the faces of those that the world forgets. Give us a hunger and thirst for righteousness. Fill our hearts with love, overflowing with mercy. Make our hearts pure. Give us a vision of your glory. In a society that is divided by hundreds of labels that we alone have created, remind us that you have breathed life into each of us. Each of us bears the mark of beloved. Each of us is claimed as your very own. Fit us for a ministry of reconciliation. Gracious God, you have richly blessed us with life, with love and joy, with hope in the midst of despair. Help us to be the salt of the earth. Help us to be the light of the world, sharing with others that which we have received, boldly proclaiming the good news of your love, finding the seeds of your kingdom within us, and letting your way grow in our lives and throughout the world. This is our hope. This is our prayer. And we offer it in the name of Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.
When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is a kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed those are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed in pure hearts, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for their kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people reveal and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad. Your reward is in great heaven. For in the same way they persecute the prophets who were before you."
Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 17. After this I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God, who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these, robed in white? Where have they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you are the one that knows that." Then he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason, they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of the water of life. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes."
Now, it might seem a little odd to look to the book of Revelation for a word of comfort as we begin yet another week of what has proven itself to be a very difficult year. The pandemic rages on months longer than any of us anticipated. Hospitalizations are on the rise. Statistics are really not looking encouraging. The political season continues to heat up with attack ads and scandals to report each and every day, it seems. And on top of all this, we're all struggling with the normal, ordinary challenges that life brings our way. In times like these, we expect our preachers to offer a word of comfort and healing, a word of hope and assurance that things are going to be okay. We expect to hear from the prophet Isaiah, "Comfort, comfort my people." We expect to hear Jesus' words echoed, "Come to me, you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest." Those are the words that we expect to hear, that we long to hear, that we need to hear from our rich faith tradition. We might expect those kinds of words on a day like today. Not the words from Revelation. And yet the lectionary offered it to us in this season of grief and struggle and, well, even loss. Technically, the reading for today is scheduled for next week's All Saints Day, as is the Matthew text that we heard read a few moments ago, but seeing as we are Baptist, and we're not really bound to the strict following of the schedule of readings that other traditions may be, we are free to follow the Spirit, who sometimes nudges us toward a text, maybe even a week early. And so today we hear a good word from the book of Revelation. Now, Revelation is one of the most difficult books in the Bible for us to read, as it's oh so unfamiliar. It's seldom used in devotional literature. It's seldom preached. It only occurs in the lectionary a handful of times. Perhaps because of this void, what we often think of when we remember the book of Revelation comes from the mouths of street preachers who are warning the end is near. Or our thoughts about the book of Revelation come from fictional interpretations like the 1990s hit book series Left Behind. And while the book may offer some vivid imagery about the end of the world as we know it, there are also close readings of the text that view it as a narrative commentary on the historical moment during which the author was living. For that reason, we now must read and interpret this strange book with two lenses. We can find within it hope for our eternal salvation and a glimpse into the past. See, when John wrote from exile, he had lived through a season of great distress, a season of violence and brutal punishment for any kind of rebellion against the Roman Empire. Remember, these were the years of the first Jewish revolt. There was devastation and the temple was destroyed. Rome brutally persecuted those who were causing any kind of problem, and the memory of Jesus' cross was fresh in the community of believers. They were well aware that the brutality did not end with Jesus, as there were many, many martyrs in that day. And within the new and emerging church, there was also discord and division as they tried to figure out where and if there needed to be a distinction between Jewish believers and Gentile believers. This was not an easy time to be a follower of Jesus. You know, I wonder if many people asked if they would get through it, if things would ever be the same again. Where was God in the midst of their suffering? And from that very real lived experience of suffering, the author of Revelation has a vision. And in the vision, he sees angels standing on the corners of the earth, holding back destructive winds and seas that were ready to wipe all of creation away, until one angel says, "Hold on. Let us first redeem those who are the servants of God." Now, the ancient audience might have expected what comes next in Revelation. 144,000 are named, 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel. That was predictable. But the angel didn't stop there. Next, there was an innumerable multitude, the text says, from every tribe and nation, from every language and location, all crying out and worshiping God. These were the servants of God. And now this is starting to sound a little bit like Pentecost, as those who met the criteria of being named servant of God seemed to surprise even the one who's telling the story. Who are all these people? The author wants to know. Well, they're the ones who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes, and now they dwell safely in the house of God, in the temple of Yahweh, under the protection of God's own tent. And there, they hunger and thirst no more. Barbara Brown Taylor reminds us that these worshipers, they were not transported there on stretchers, she writes. They've come out on their own 2 feet. They have furthermore washed their own robes. And it's possible that the robes of those standing before the throne needed washing because, you know, seeing as they were likely persecuted by Rome, or perhaps even martyred by Rome, perhaps they were wet with their own blood. Taylor's words make me wonder about the dirt that we might have on our own robes. I wonder if this is what Jesus was warning the disciples about when he spoke to them during that very first sermon after he called them to be his disciples, the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew's Gospel. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil things against you. It seems Jesus knew that the experiences of life and discipleship would be full of all kinds of struggle, trial, and loss. Whether he was talking about his ministry with those first disciples in Galilee, warning them of what would come, or whether he was talking about the early church under the Roman Empire, or whether he was talking about the Christians of North Raleigh in the time of COVID-19. Our lives are all characterized by episodes that to us feel like John's great ordeal. Seasons of incredible hardship when we feel like this might just be the end. Seasons in which we cannot seem to find hope. Seasons in which our robes are adorned with the dirt and the dust and sometimes even the blood from the wounds that life has inflicted upon us. You know, this week, as I was contemplating the text, I saw a post on Facebook. It featured a close-up picture of a mom's face. And the expression on her face, the exhaustion in her eyes, validated the truth of the statement that she'd typed in for the post. Here are her words. The very tired face of pandemic parenting. Or as I like to call it, extreme parenting COVID edition. Who's on the struggle bus with me? 'Cause y'all, this is exhausting. You could probably guess that this post generated a lot of engagement. Folks chiming in with hand claps and likes and comments saying things like, OMG, I am so tired. I feel like I'm hanging on to the bumper of the struggle bus. Me too. Hang in there, somebody said. And then another comment. Forget hanging on. I'm being dragged by the coattails behind the struggle bus. This thread was filtered with GIFs and emojis animating exhaustion and struggle and surrender to the whim of that struggle bus, dragging them, pulling them, driving them wherever it wanted to go. Now, some of us might not have used this exact same metaphor. Some of us may not have known what the struggle bus was until right now as you Google it during the sermon. But everybody seems to be struggling with something. If it isn't school and work, like the moms on Facebook were confessing that day, it's loneliness and depression. It's caring for loved ones who are struggling. It's dealing with illness or a grueling treatment plan. It's planning for the worst, but hoping for the best. It's happening in our world. It's happening in our personal lives, and it's happening in our church too. To use the words from that Facebook post, it's extreme church COVID edition. This is our current great ordeal, and it's making us wonder if there's any hope to be found. But sooner or later, whether we're reading our Bibles or studying Christian history, we begin to recognize that though there have been so many ordeals in our past, and maybe even in our present, the end, it hasn't come yet. No matter what those street preachers have said, as they have predicted the end, so far at least, God has held off on the destruction of all creation, sounding the words from Revelation, from the angel who said, "Let us wait and see if we can find a servant of God there." And every time, at least so far, God hasn't let the struggle have the last word. Instead, as we look back on our past, all the way to John's extreme church, Roman persecution edition, we would also see evidence of God's faithfulness bringing us through all kinds of great ordeals, including some other pandemics. We might call them extreme church, Black Plague edition, or extreme church, Spanish flu edition, extreme church, 9/11 edition, extreme church, Ebola edition, extreme church, fill in the blank edition. There are numerous examples because God has remained faithful to the body of Christ throughout history, through all kinds of struggles, and God will remain faithful to us now. So when we feel like giving up, when we feel like our hope is lost, when we wonder if the end is near, if the struggle bus is going to run away with us, when we are not sure if tomorrow will ever come, maybe what we need to do is to reread from the book of Revelation, the 7th chapter, and remind ourselves that whatever scars and marks of change we bear as a congregation, whatever dirt we might have on the robes that we wear, whatever stress, whatever fatigue, whatever exhaustion we wear as an outward sign of this struggle, there is a spring up ahead, bubbling up with the water of life. And we will get there together, led by the Good Shepherd, who is working here and now, to ensure that we are being restored, transformed, and maybe even being made completely new. Amen.
A place at the table for everyone born, clean water and bread, a shelter, a space, a safe place for growing, for everyone born, a star overhead. And God will delight when we are creators of justice and joy, compassion and peace. Yes, God will delight when we are creators of justice, justice and joy. For woman and man, a place at the table, revising the roles, deciding to share with wisdom and grace, dividing the power for woman and man, a system that's fair. For God will delight when we are creators of justice and joy, compassion and peace. Yes, God will delight when we are creators of justice, justice and joy. For young and for old, a place at the table, a voice to be heard, a part in the song, the hands of a child in hands that are wrinkled, for young and for old, a right to belong. And God will delight when we are creators of justice and joy, compassion and peace. Yes, God will delight when we are creators of justice, justice and joy. For everyone born, a place at the table, to live without fear and simply to be, to work, to speak out, to witness and worship, for everyone born the right to be free. And God will delight when we are creators of justice and joy, justice and joy.
Thanks again for joining us this morning for Worship Online. We hope that this time has been a time of renewal for you, perhaps an opportunity for you to refill, to fill up your spirit for the week that is to come. If you find that this service has been meaningful for you and you wouldn't mind sharing it with your friends, feel free to post it on your social media pages and to encourage others to come and to join as we gather together in new ways for worship during this ongoing season of COVID-19. Next week, on November the 1st, we will gather outdoors and in person at 10 a.m. on our campus. You'll be able to find us if you come in through the lead mine lot. We'll be set up under the breezeway near the picnic tables for folks who you can bring your own chairs and sit and worship together in person. Of course, next week is All Saints Sunday, and so it's a day in which we remember those from our community of faith who have died and who have gone on to be with God. And so we're going to be reading the names of those church members together and remembering their witness, remembering their lives, and remembering the ways that they have shown us God's love. Next week, we will also share in the Lord's Supper together, so come prepared and ready to receive that meal. If you're not quite comfortable yet getting out of your vehicle and joining us in person and on the grounds, don't worry, because the service will be transmitted through FM radio, so you'll be able to participate fully from your vehicles, and there will be deacons around who can serve communion to you from your cars. So come and join us, whether you want to sit in a chair on the lawn, whether you want to stand the whole time, or whether you want to sit in your vehicle. We hope that you feel like you can come and safely join us as we gather together in person to worship God. If you're not quite comfortable or 10 o'clock just isn't the right time for you, don't worry. The service will be available on our YouTube channel after the fact. It just will not be available before. So you can join us in person next week. You can live stream, or you can watch it after the fact on our YouTube channel. We want to say thank you to those of you who took the time to fill out our one question survey that went out to the congregation last week. We wanted to know how many of you would be ready to come back for an indoors, in-person service during the season of Advent. And as we're learning is typical of many churches during this time, about 25% of you said that you were indeed ready to come back indoors. And so the COVID think tank and myself and the rest of the staff team, we are thinking and working together to come up with some safe ways to make that happen for you. So stay tuned for some news about that in your Thursday emails. Thanks again for joining us for worship this morning. God be with you.
As you leave this time of worship and return to your lives, receive this benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May God's presence always be alive within you, giving you the grace never to sell yourself short. Grace to risk something big for something good, and grace to remember that the world is now too dangerous for anything but truth and too small for anything but love. So may God take your feet and walk with them. May God take your hands and heal through them. And may God take your hearts and set them on fire. Amen.